Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. In a previous lesson, we mentioned how that Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount pointed out that there are two ways that men can travel, the broad way or the narrow way. Broad way leading to destruction, the narrow way leading to life. And Jesus pointed out how that, unfortunately, most people will choose the way of destruction. And that's not because that's the way God wants them to go. That's because they choose to do that themselves. Oh, they think they're so wise in following their own directions, but they're not following the way that God would have them to live. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Psalm 111 teaches us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. His praise endureth forever. Friend, when a person respects and obeys God, he is by far a greater contributor to the welfare of his fellow man and himself than all of the so-called wise men and their inventions who don't care for God. The lineage of Cain proved that. Oh, they had skills and civilization and cities and all of that, but we have no example of any of them walking with God. Now, as for the relative value of human wisdom to God's wisdom, Paul wrote, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men, 1 Corinthians 1. What some call foolishness, Paul says, is better and stronger and wiser and more beneficial than the so-called wisdom of men. Again, he said, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Godly people had rather their children learn their ABCs in heaven than to be able to read Greek and shoot rockets in hell. It need not, of course, be an either-or situation. One can be educated and civilized and godly at the same time. But the line of Cain is a line of human wisdom being placed above God's wisdom, and the result, well, their pride, their vanity, their sin, the exaltation of man above deity, their rebellion going their own way, it's the way of destruction and the way of death. In our world, there just seems to be too many are trying to measure God by man's standards rather than measuring man by the infallible standard of God. And this attitude and this action constitutes one of the most threatening hazards of facing our world. To sacrifice God's truth on the altar of what some call education and scholarship and material gain is a demonstration of the foolishness of men. In Genesis chapter 4, after the death of Abel, and Adam knew his wife again, and she bare a son, and called his name Seth. For God, she said, hath appointed me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain slew. And to Seth, to him there was born a son, and he called his name Enos, and then begat he men to call upon the name of the Lord. Now I want us to notice the distinction, the very great difference, between those of the lineage of Cain and those who followed the way of Seth. While Cain's descendants pursued one course, and that course, of course, brought them hardship, it brought them more sin, it brought them death, it brought them punishment, the way of Seth and his posterity, they took the other course. They went the straight and narrow way. They went in the opposite direction from Cain and his family. They sought the ways of the Lord. You will recall, it was written, they began to call upon the name of the Lord. There's the distinction for the family of Seth. Now, there's not a great amount of revelation concerning Seth, and there's not a whole lot said about his descendants, except what we read here. But we do read of one man about them, named Enoch, and that man seemed to characterize the whole lineage of the family of Seth. In Genesis 5 and verse 24, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him." Now the implication of this statement is that Enoch was of such sterling quality of character that God brought him into the halls of immortality and into the presence and the company of God. He didn't have to die as all other men have to die. He was a righteous man. He was walking the path in the direction that God wants men to go. He walked with God. He was a descendant of Seth. He followed the path of Seth. And there was another descendant of Seth, of which we read in the Old Testament, and you're familiar with him very much so. His name was Noah. He is presented to us as one who was upright before God and his generation. It says in Genesis 6 and verse 9, "Like Enoch, he walked with God. He found favor in the sight of the Lord, and he did as the Lord commanded him," Genesis 6 and verse 22. You see, he was the man who lived in the midst of a generation that had decayed to such low levels that God determined to destroy mankind, even repenting that he had created man. That's how wicked man had become, following the ways of Cain. But Noah, he was able to be righteous. He was able to rear his family to be upright, even to the point that God spared Noah, his wife, Noah's three sons, and their wives in the great flood that came as a punishment upon humanity because the thoughts of their heart was evil continually. This was the family, the Noah family, that preserved the human family. Now, we're not to think that the people of Seth ignored the development of their skills and their abilities. And the people of Cain had done the same thing, but without the guidance of the directions of God. Noah was able to build the ark. That was not a small accomplishment. That was a tremendous engineering accomplishment. And the difference between these two families is where they place their emphasis. Is what they considered most important, is how they acted in response to their very different convictions. The line of Seth enjoyed fellowship with deity. He enjoyed the blessings of immortality with God. And even yet, he's noted for the wisdom of his choice and the direction of his life. You see, the family of Seth, they chose life, while Cain and his people chose the way of death. Now, as we have noted earlier, each one is forced to make his own choice. God doesn't force you to follow one or the other. We choose which direction we want to go. He's left that up to us. We are free moral agents. We're not compelled or forced by God to go one way or the other. Oh, yes, he persuades us to go his way, but we have to choose to go that way. You know, as Moses neared the close of his life, and he was about 120 years old, having spent the last 40 of them leading Israel from Egypt toward the promised land of Canaan, he said this to his people, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. There were two directions that Moses could have gone. He chose the direction the way God wanted him to go. And that's in similar fashion to the man who took Moses' place, the man named Joshua. as he came to the close of his most illustrious career as the leader of Israel and as the deliverer of Canaan for Israel, he said to them, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood," and that, of course, had reference to the swollen Jordan that they had crossed. And he continued, "And in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell." And then he told them of his choice, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." What a great and wonderful statement this was from the leader of Israel to the people that he had led, to the people that he had led in conquering the land of Canaan, the promised land that God had said to the descendants of Abraham. He told them, however, to choose. They had the power to choose. They had the necessity to choose. Friend, listen to me. Every person will make a choice the direction that he will go. He will go the way of Cain to destruction, or he will go the way of Seth, which will lead to life. Moses led away to life, and he encouraged his people to go that way. Joshua did the same thing. Friend, as you read and study about these great men, please be impressed with the necessity of choosing which direction you will go. Jesus said, "You're either for me or you're against me." Jesus had said, "Ye cannot serve two masters." Now, you may think, sometimes as people do, that they're just going to be neutral. They're not going to make a decision one way or another. Oh, that's a mistaken idea. You're going to make a decision. You're either going to decide for Christ or you decide against him. That's what the Lord has said. Your attempt at being neutral and not deciding either one, you've made a decision. You've made a decision not to follow Christ, and that will only lead to your condemnation. In the inspired words of the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to the brethren in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 5, "And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God, and into the patient waiting for Christ." Oh, would it be wonderful if all of us would know the salvation that the Lord has offered through Jesus Christ by going the right direction? Now, unfortunately, as I have mentioned, Jesus said, "Most will go the way, the broad way, that will lead to destruction. Relatively few will go the straight and narrow way that leads to life." I don't know why people want to choose that which destroys them when the way of life is open to them through Jesus Christ. But may I persuade you in this program to consider your soul, your life, your eternity. You know, friend, your soul is worth more than all the world in the mind of God. He wants you to be saved. He's provided a Savior for you whereby you can be saved. Oh, if you'll only believe in him and repent of your sins, confess your faith and be baptized, and then live a faithful Christian life, walk with God, and all will be well with your soul. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.